It's been a very tough couple of weeks for the Obama White House. I would say the breaking scandals this president's facing merit a 6 or 7 on the scandal scale, while the right-wing rhetoric is permanently pegged at about 10. But there's no question that things haven't looked this bad for Barack Obama since he first took office. At a time like this, I can't think of a better perspective to hear than we get regularly on this show from Greg LaBelle, assistant professor of political management at George Washington University and our go-to guy on presidential politics. So we're very fortunate to have Greg with us today. It's been a few weeks since he's been on. I assume you drove your Fisker Karma over to the studio today, Greg. Welcome back to State of Belief.
Thank you. Only a 10 on the scale, huh? Okay.
You know, with all that right-wing noise about everything's worse than Watergate, and we're talking about Nixon again, I'm glad there's at least one responsible voice of reason on all this.
Certain people who despise President Obama and Hillary Clinton so much that everything is a scandal, everything is Watergate.
What does it tell us? That there's too much hyperbole in the air for Bill O'Reilly from Fox News?
That seems hard to imagine. We do know that there are some folks who think that the White House is actually manufacturing a couple of these late-round scandals, particularly the IRS scandal. Their theory is that the White House wants to get us to stop thinking about Benghazi, so they've gone with this. So it's in essence what they're saying is, we're going to go from a scandal in quotes that really isn't much of a scandal, I think, when you really get down to it, and let's give the American people something that they really will get head up about and to take their minds off the fake scandal. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. Yeah. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, no, and especially when you're dealing with the media on the one hand that you know is not going to sit quietly have someone sneeze on the First Amendment, and then also you have the IRS, which is maybe the most powerful institution in government, and you don't want them under scandal,
and one of the least liked, it's sort of natural that when we find out that when Americans find out the IRS is doing something inappropriate, you know, if you want to get the American public ginned up, that's one way to do it.
Well, obviously, the scandal machine's been ready for a long time, but it does, in fact, look like the administration gave them exactly what they wanted.
It is, to me, this kind of stuff makes me crazy. You've got a president who ran two campaigns, 2008, 2012, that really understood messaging and timing. You've got first half of the administration for Obama, and now the beginning of the second half of an administration, which seem not to understand those same basic principles that they worked so well in the context of the campaign. It is amazing to me. There's a fundamental rule in the business of messaging, and it's you define the message before they do. And this is something that the two campaigns have been absolutely brilliant at. The two White Houses have fallen down every time. Why the administration has allowed their foes to get hold of the message on all three of these issues is absolutely stuns me. I don't get it.
Well, and maybe I shouldn't ask you the next question because you say you don't get it. But, I mean, either there's poor counsel or someone's not thinking.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Those are the two things that I come up with, because it just doesn't make any sense that they're standing back and allowing Daryl Issa and some of these folks to actually be the folks who are forming the view of these issues for the American people. I don't understand it.
How do you see this current trifecta? Which is the biggest deal? Or is the number of stories coming out at once just as big a problem as the others?
Yeah, I think the biggest problem is the sheer volume when you put all this together. If you break them down, I mean, in my assessment, and I think most thoughtful people would say that the ongoing push on Benghazi is 95% politics. I mean, they get a twofer with this. They get to jump all over a president who they strongly dislike, and they get to attack and put some dents in the woman who is in the strongest position to be the Democratic nominee in 2016. So this is a twofer for these folks. And they're going to play this for all it's worth politically, but there's no real indication that there's much there beside. This was a horribly unfortunate, horribly unfortunate situation. But to try to present it as some sort of major failing it just doesn't hold water. These other two things, though, I think of the two, the press and the IRS. I think the IRS probably wins in terms of how the American people look at it. But it's the accumulation that's the real problem.
How do you evaluate what the White House has done? I mean, you've already said, obviously, that someone's asleep but are not thinking. But when you've heard the president speak, when you've seen the messages that have come out, what is it that's made you just scream inside and say, why aren't you doing this?
Well, I think the president needed to say some variation on heads will roll. And that's not what we've gotten. We've gotten an abundance of fairness, and I'm not opposed to fairness, but I think that the message has to be clearer. The sort of if this is the case, okay, fine, but what are we going to do about it? And I think that this is where the president and the White House has to stand up and say, heads are going to roll on this one. Mm-hmm. This is unacceptable.
But that hasn't been the case.
No,
it's
no,
been
it
more
been.
About. Well, it was down the line.
Yeah.
I haven't known
anything.
Yeah,
we didn't do it. I didn't know.
Yeah.
It's kind of mealy-mouthed. It's really that's not what presidents need to do in situations like this.
In an era when major political leaders have in the past declared the White House is full of Muslim Brotherhood members, Obama's a socialist, his birth certificate on, all the silly noise we've heard for years, does that history kind of delegitimize their outrage now that they're finally dealing with some real and significant issues?
I think it depends on who you are. Obviously, for a certain segment of the American people, all of this falls into that bin, and this is what's wrong with this president, this administration, and so on and so forth. But I think that I think there is a conservative wing that has damaged itself in terms of credibility. So that does become a problem. It's like the old story about the little boy crying wolf. How many times can you cry wolf before people start ignoring you? But you have that mainstream part of the Republican leadership. You have John Boehner standing up there, making some pretty straightforward, remarkable, challenging statements on this stuff. Because they still feel, I think, sort of held tight by that right wing of their party, and particularly in the House of Representatives, so they are sort of being pulled or sucked into that into that place too.
The way so much of this is being portrayed is the worst ever, never in history,
yeah.
Worse than Watergate,
yeah.
Just obliterates
yeah.
any context. An
yeah.
example would be the AP scandal, which sounds very serious, but it's connected to widespread demands last summer that leaks at the time regarding Yemen be dealt with at all costs, was said. Is there any chance all of this will be dealt with in a responsible way, or are we just far down the road, so far down the road that permanent and hostile partisanship is going to prevail?
Well, I even have an even better example. Dick Cheney over the weekend on Fox News, a statement to the effect that talking about the White House, they're all liars. I haven't seen anything like this in my career. This is the guy who brought us the Phantom WMDs in Iraq, we have to remember.
Right.
So this is the guy. So, yeah, I mean, the hyperbole is just that. I don't know how – at this point, I think that the state of of American political dialogue, if you can even call it that anymore, is just way too intense. That gives me hope, though, because I think that as we've talked about sort of where the American people are on this, I think that there's a breaking point, and there's a point where folks in this country say, wait a minute, all of this. It can't be as bad as you're saying it is, and there may come a point, I think, where people just the credibility comes to a halt.
Actually, I did not know that Cheney lived in a house without mirrors.
I didn't either.
But it's interesting to hear that. But you know, the other side of that, Greg, and I don't think this is too much to ask, but I want to get your take on it. I think it's really important for those of us in the progressive community, yes, to call for responsibility, but also to say that in a democracy, there is no place for the kind of stuff that's going on. And it's not about a partisanship. It's about a moral and a democratic perspective.
Yeah, you're right. This goes beyond the question of partisanship, I hope to God I'm right here. I hope that the sheer volume of this thing is going to have an impact, and the folks who are doing this are going to be called to account. But you're absolutely right. I think we as Americans need to say this is not acceptable. This is not acceptable rhetoric in a constitutional democracy.
What is how far is it going?
I don't know. You know, it's so difficult to say. I think many of us would have thought it wouldn't have gotten this far, yet it continues. I think there are a lot of people who are angry, still very angry that Barack Obama was elected for a second term. I mean, this was a big deal. And so there continue to be these attempts to stop it. And you look at where the attention is, particularly in the House of Representatives. They're voting, I think, this week for the 37th time to repeal Obamacare. We've got a debt ceiling to deal with. We've got jobs to deal with. We've got immigration reform. We've got guns. There are so many things on the table. But this is where the rhetoric is, and this is where the action is. This doesn't make sense.
You think we'll get a special prosecutor?
We should.
Yeah.
I think the president needs to do that.
Yeah. Will Attorney General Holder make it through this?
I think so. I suspect that he will.
Yeah. What would you tell the White House today to do next?
It's easier to say what I would tell them to have done a few days ago. They need to develop a clear message that while making it clear that the president was not privy to these decisions, make it clear that the president sees himself as in charge and that he intends to find out who the perpetrators of these two issues are. I'm talking about, again, IRS and the AP scandal, and promise the American people that we're going to do something, we're going to do it quickly, it's going to be clear, and we're going to move on.
Yeah.
He's got to do it.
Yeah. He can't say it's below his pay grade.
No, he can't, because it's not. This is his administration.
Greg LaBelle is Assistant Professor of Political Management at George Washington University, where he's in charge of the Semester in Washington program. He's the author of the forthcoming book, I don't know what that is, that so many of us hope he'll write one day. Greg, we live in interesting times. I'm so glad that we have you around to come and help us get our bearings and see where things are going and know how we ought to be reacting. So thanks again for being with us on State of Belief.
Thanks, Walter. Maybe we should pray for some less interesting times.
That's true.